But I would like to share with you a message about the risk of living. As I begin to look into our society in many different ways, I begin to see something that is happening within our culture. And actually, even as I was coming here, they were having discussions about on CBC about how Steve Jobs stood up in front of an assembly of university students when he was alive and spoke, "If you don't love your job, then work and move until you find something you love." Doesn't that sound wonderful? We hear a lot of that. If you don't love what you do, then find something until you no longer feel that sense of this is awful and mundane and boring. And in that perspective, I think we begin to create a safe world for ourselves. It's a safe world where we establish our own destinies, cultivate our own meaningful friendships, develop our own certain family systems, and begin to develop our own meaning of God and the meaning of life. In our society, we are more and more engaged in relationships and our lifestyle to be happy, to be fulfilled, to make everything feel comfortable and in control. We can maintain certain disciplines as Christians and take on certain commitments, but there's a safety and a security that we can never, ever understand or have the impact of compared to following Christ. Where in the gospel of Jesus Christ does it say that we will live in safety and security? Where in our faith, when we live in a culture where everything is about safety, control, systems, designs, everything that we do in our lives is geared for our own comforts? I began to think about our world as Christians, and the Lord brought to my mind that it's time to start asking the tough questions. It's time for us to search new ways to make a difference for Christ. It's time for us to take risks. The question in our own philosophy, I think, is important. And there's lots of questions that the world is asking us to think about, like find a job that will make you happy. Like, find the best vehicle that you can get that everybody else will think that it's the most wonderful vehicle in the world. Find the nicest house. Build the nicest acreage. Go and get your Phoenix, Arizona property while it's cheap. It goes on and on and on in our lives. And yet, I think there's the question that we need to ask ourselves: how can we show the world the Lord is faithful and loving towards all he has made? Excuse me. How can we begin to ask different questions in our lives? How can we begin to see things differently? In Psalms 145, verse 13, it says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made." If you listen to that scripture, the Lord is faithful. I don't know what's wrong with my voice here. I apologize. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. I love that scripture. It's powerful. As a promise for us to hold on to what the world is about for us as believers. The Lord is faithful. We need to... I've got some water here, Val, thanks. It's not helping. How can we show the world he's faithful? Are we asking the right questions as a church? How can we show the world that the Lord loves them? What questions are we asking in our everyday lives? If you think about the questions that you've asked yourself over this week, what questions have they been? The subject is not love in general, but divine love. The difference is evident. Love, divine love, signifies purity, sacrifice. Love is understood in all kinds of expressions in our society. But Christ is showing us something more powerful than that. He's asking us to ask the right questions for our faith. Christ made love of a mother of all different kinds of creatures. I had a chance to see in Africa an orange-tailed monkey carry their young in a stomach, and God reminded me of his amazing love that he shows within his creatures. He showed how they would carry them so carefully and how they would hold and cling to him. We see all sorts of kinds of male lions and all sorts of beautiful creatures of the world, and yet you can see how God is moving in our lives and showing us all around his wonder and his beauty. And it's almost like he's calling us to ask the right question. How can we show the world, as he's shown us through all of his creation, that he is faithful, that he loves them, and that he's loving towards all he has made? I've seen the wonders of love in motherhood, where mothers who are career-orientated women have a baby and they become like a bumbling goo-goo and gaga, and you think, like, you know, are we in the same planet? Like, I remember you a year ago and you didn't look like that. Their whole world becomes consumed with the amazing love of being a mother. It becomes her thoughts, her objects. She suffers sleeplessly at nights, long hours of comforting feeding without complaint. She holds a baby, and life rises and falls on that dependent child. And there's nothing in the world that that mother wouldn't do for that child. But then I ask the question, the Lord is faithful and loving, and how, as he's shown the amazing love of a mother, how can I be like him in my life, where I will do whatever it takes to make sure that those that he says he loves will be safe? It's a very difficult and hard question for us to ask. This type of love is more powerful than friendship, more powerful than two people thinking alike. It's more powerful than comrades in the same struggle. It's the amazing love that God has given between a mother and a child. I think it's the closest to what I can understand of the depth of God's love. Because when that mother becomes a mother, there, you better watch out, because when Johnny comes, he rises and the sun rises and falls on that Johnny. And no matter what Johnny does, Mom is there to say, it will be better tomorrow. It's a wonderful picture of God's love. I remember as I walked with professors, and we climbed down various hills, and we saw the beautiful warm wind and the clouds that were gorgeous in the sun. As we moved past the cows, as Debbie shows us, and the birds whispering in the melodies, and it was a most amazing, wonderful moment. And I overlooked the valley of the world, and it struck me, the rarest gift from God is all around us. And as you look at his wonderful, unexpected moments where you experience the joy and the rapture and the depth and the love of Christ, you're just overwhelmed. And I know we all have experienced that as believers. It's the unexpected moments that impact us, and we see his wonder, and we grab a hold of it, and we want to hold on to it for life. But are we asking the right questions? Because I know Alan and I have been faced with a challenge of asking the right question ourselves. We've pondered and thought, as I left Africa, filled with the wonder and love of Christ, I was determined I had fulfilled my specific task. I had been going there to do an accreditation issue. I had done everything I could possibly do. I was not connected to the students. I purposely said, I'm coming to do accreditation. I don't want to get emotionally attached because I'm not coming back. And I had it in my mind, and Alan and I, we were confirmed in our spirits that it was the right thing. I had done what I had fulfilled to do. And I was traveling home to Canada, happy to be home, happy to be with my husband. The Spirit of the Lord put upon me image after image after image of the African people. And he says, where are you for those who need you? How much do I love them? And I thought, you know, it must be jet lag. I'm tired, you know. I'm just getting over emotional, over sensitive. This can't be really. I mean, my husband's in home in Canada. I miss him terribly when I'm gone. We talk every day. Sometimes I hang up. I'm almost in tears leaving him, and I began to think the question, where will they be when you leave them? Who will look after my 60-some students who are being called to be pastors and leaders right now? There's nobody to stand in the gap. Who will be for them? What will happen to them? It was all the questions in my spirit. And I began to think, you know, this has got to be crazy. It's not really for me. I mean, I love Africa, but it just can't be for me. And the area that I began to experience is every day we need to ask the right questions. We need to be willing to sacrifice to search for the answer and step out and be authentic and risk it all for the faith. How many of us, if God has asked a question and we have not been there to answer, that we have been so busy in our world, getting everything right, making sure our house looks right and our flowers look pretty. And I do all those things. I love those things. I'm not knocking. But are we stopping to have the Lord, and are we asking the right question? Are we stopping to hear the right answer? Because his scripture has said very clearly, for what we need to do. when we look at the power of God and his love. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. Nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion. As the Lord showed me that Canadian life is a wonderful gift. But how can we show the world the Lord is faithful towards all he has made if we leave them behind and turn our back on them? How will they know? It is my responsibility to show the world the Lord is faithful. It's your responsibility. How about you? How about you as a missionary? How about you as a neighbor? How about you as a wealthy person? There is so much in our world that we could do for the cause of Christ if we would but stand and show them the Lord is faithful. Have you been willing to sacrifice it all for the riches of Christ? To show the world his eternal love. To show the world his power. If you want to turn to there is many many lives at stake. People are dying. These students here, they will sacrifice it all for the cause of Christ. Many of them will go back to very tough and difficult times in the rural community. Many of them will experience harshness of life. And Ross understands about the harshness of African life. Many of them will take a bike and travel 20 miles just to preach on a bike. Many of them will give much of their life. It makes me wonder in our own lives, Deb, if we could just see the beauty of the Lord and see his power and his majesty, we would be willing to sacrifice anything for the cause of Christ. If we could just get a glimpse of what we could do with so little, we would be impacted forever to serve him. I think of a time when I saw a poor mother with meager living that is equivalent to $4 a day at least. She would dress her children with the finest that she could afford. She'd walk with her beautiful gomas. If you want to just go back, Deb. Brightly colored dresses with dignity. I watched this poor African woman praying in a church service with hands clenched beneath her chin, moving in silent petition while others sang the song. With this amazing grace, this poor woman filed forward with the rest of the congregation, not only sacrificing for her children, for the cause of Christ. As you would see, the small amount of money, 1,500, 200 shillings, very, very small. She returned to her chair and worshiped the Lord in a posture of deep love for Jesus. It began to be to me a symbol of sacrifice, where she would serve the Lord with everything that she had. And let's turn to Mark 14. verse 3 and to 9. While he was still in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very, very expensive perfume made of nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on the head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wage, and the money given to the poor." This woman gave her most valuable possession, worth over a year's wage. You imagine the amount of time that would have taken that woman to provide that gift. And I wondered why Jesus has placed this in the scripture as for us to know. It gives us a mark. We focus on Christ as the one who we are sacrificing to, but this woman gave Jesus her all, her very, very best. And it's been quite a challenge in my life for how much am I willing to sacrifice? How much am I willing to give? Are you going to give me some help? Try, she says. Anything will do. Such kindness. All right. Let's see if that helps. I'm not sure why my throat has all of a sudden gone crazy. She was desperate for a relationship with Jesus. She was desperate for a relationship with Jesus. She gave him her all, everything she had. That was not something cheap or something that she just pulled out of her pocket. Or something that she just thought of in a moment. She gave Jesus the very best. And I think it was an amazing search for a relationship with the Savior. The second widow in Mark 12, verse 41 to 44, Jesus sat opposite a place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd put their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in their large amounts, but a widow came and put in two small copper coins worth only a fraction of pennies. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of those, than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." It shows us the power of God in this context of the story, that Jesus saw the piety of this woman, this poor woman, in comparison to the self-centered, self-seeking ambition of the scribes. Further, she contrasted with the rich young ruler who loved his money more than he loved God. The lady, we find a marvelous example of one who loves the Lord, her God, with all her heart, with all her soul, with all of her mind, because all of her strength, because she gave everything for the cause of Christ. You think about it, everybody would have been jingling their change in there. And back in that time, the more money it was worth, the louder it would sound. So everybody would know how wealthy you were or how much money you put in there, because it would sound, the sound would be powerful. And then this poor widow would have gone up with her little mite. Nobody could have heard a sound from it. And she would have been given her small amount of money that you could have hardly even heard a pin drop. But it is that one that the Savior focused on. It is that one that's recorded. Why? It's the power of sacrifice. The Lord is a keen observer of life and people. He has eyes on all of us as individual. He hears the cries of all of us. He hears and understands the sacrificial gifts we give for the cause of Christ. He understands all of those things. It is one of the most powerful understandings of Christ. And it is for us to ask the question, what are we willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ? What has God asked you to sacrifice? What has He asked you to do to serve Him? For us, as Alan and I, as we have searched and struggled through prayer and of supplication and please asking God, no, not Africa. It has come back over and over again in our hearts that at least for this period of time, I need to go back. I'll go back in September, and then Alan will come with me in January. What will go after that, we're not sure. But I understand the call for sacrificial giving is my divine love for Jesus. And I would wonder for you, what is God calling you? What have we lost or wasted or misunderstood or neglected or just weren't involved enough in the Spirit of God to understand what He's asked each and every one of us to sacrifice? For us, it's basically my livelihood. It's sacrificing our relationship and being connected to each other the way that we love to be connected. It's sacrificing. I love Canada. I have no desire. I've really had no desire. Some people say, I love to go. I have no desire. I've really loved Canada my whole life. But God is calling for sacrifice. And we fought in prayer and we believe the calling is true. So for you, as you begin to search, what questions are you asking? What are you willing to sacrifice? And the other part of it is faith in being an authentic risk taker. How far are you willing to risk? When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? I think faith is risk taker. Not the adventuresome risk taker, not the one who's the mountain climber. Maybe you are, race car. Not talking about that kind of a risk taker. Those are all wonderful things in as far as I love watching and I admire people who can parachute out of planes. But for me, faith for us as believers is faith. The risk taking is meaning we're going to step out and meet something that we don't know if we can get there, but we're going to try to get there. We don't know what will happen at the end of that day, but we're going to try to fight to find that door. Because of our faith in Christ, we're willing to stand firm and believe that He will find faith on this earth with us. Maybe not with someone else, it's none of our business, but with us, He will find faith. If we are going to be ones who will stand like the persistent widow and bang on the door of heaven until God finds a way, we should be willing to do that. It is our call. It is our love for Christ, it's our sacrifice for Christ, and it's our faith in Him that should drive us to go farther and higher and deeper and longer, no matter what the cost or consequences or even the failures. we would be willing to stand up and be that type of person who would give it all. We could look, you could look like the biggest fool in the world, but far better to have tried and look a fool than to have not tried at all. And I understand as a church, we have tried numerous different kinds of things, and sometimes they've been a boom and sometimes they've been a bust. But should we not be still people of great faith that will stand up and be risk takers for the cause of Christ? That there will be faith in our lives that people will see, as that mother or that widow who was persistent with the judge, so should we. She risked it all. He could have thrown her in prison. He could have barred her. He could have done all sorts of things. She had no power, no strength, no human rights. But she would keep banging, and he gave her what she wanted because she would not let it go. For us and for you individually, how far are you willing to risk for the cause of Christ? It's being authentically in love with Jesus. Sacrifice and persistence with the searching question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It is not to escape trouble that we have come to pray in our lives. It's not to be comfortable that he's asked us to pray. It's to show the world his love. Now, I'm not saying, we're not saying, Alan and I, that we're, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Spiritual, wonderful, you know, and that everything's going to turn out so great and life is going to be wonderful. And maybe we have made a mistake. We're not saying any of those things. We're not saying God came down from heaven and said, thus saith the Lord, the door of Macedonia, Africa is open to you. What we're saying is that in all of our prayer and in our searching with our faithful friends and people who we really believe in prayer, they've all confirmed, go with caution. So we're willing to take a risk. We understand the cost, but I'm asking you as a church, what question has been on your heart? What sacrifice has God called you to do? What risk has he asked you to pursue? And have you, in all of your imagination, says, I can't do that, I'm not called to do that, I'm not gifted to do that, I don't have the skills to do that, I wouldn't know why he would want me to do that. And you've talked yourself out of it, because tomorrow is where you get up and you make your money and you do your life, and all of a sudden that question gets forgotten. Today, if God has placed upon you a question, placed upon you something in your own hearts that you have known that he's asking you a question, he's asking you to sacrifice. He's asking you to take a risk, that today you would open your hearts and let him speak. Nobody can do that for you. Nobody can push that on you. Nobody can shove that project, this project. And I'm not talking about, you know, follow this project or support this. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm asking, what about you? Will he find us faithful? Will we show the world he loves us, he loves them? Thank you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father,